You will now take your Bibles and turn back with me to Exodus chapter 28. In verses 15 through 30 of Exodus chapter 28, God gives His instructions to Moses concerning another article of dress specifically designed for Aaron, the high priest of Israel. And he calls this part of the high priest dress the breastplate of judgment. Now we looked at the ephod last week, which is basically the beginning of his uniform with its apron and its shoulder pieces and its girdle and those various parts which make up this outfit which God calls the ephod. And on which the Lord now will fashion this article on that apron of blue. He will fashion this article that He calls the breastplate of judgment. And if you'll recall what we studied about the shoulder pieces of the ephod, you'll recall that each side had a rather large onyx stone. It doesn't give the size or the weight of the gem, but it had to be pretty good size in order to inscribe six names. So it's pretty good size. And under it, an ouch or a setting of pure gold fashioned that onyx stone with those names to the shoulder, six on one side and six on the other. And then attached to those ouches or settings in which this onyx stone set on the shoulder piece were two chains of pure gold, Exodus 28 verse 14. Two on the one side, two on the other, and these two golden chains were to be a wreathen work. See it there in the verse? A wreathen work. What that means is twisted. It's to be twisted or woven. And they would be fastened then at the top of the breastplate where there were two golden rings. These two twisted works of pure gold, these two chains, would come down and pass through the loop of that ephod, of that breastplate, one on the left side and one on the right. And upon its face, the face of this, I'm getting ahead of myself. This breastplate, he said, is four square. In other words, it's a perfect square. And it's a span wide and a span high. Now, what is a span? A span is from here to here, about 10.5 inches. Should be a half a cubit, according to the scale in the Bible, but it was from fingertip to the tip of your thumb, outspread hand. That's a span. And they've used that in the measurement of horses. They've used that, I couldn't tell you how often that measurement's been used. But it was four square, so picture, if you will, on this apron of pure blue, this heavenly garment. That's what that blue represented. This priest was God's heavenly priest. And upon that blue apron of the ephod hung down this piece of cunning work with scarlet and purple and all the colors that were in the ephod, all etched into this thing with threads of gold that they'd beaten fine and woven into the fabric and the white fine twine linen. All of this in this little square. And upon this thing, upon this ephod, upon its face were four settings of stones, three in each row, and in each a gem with the name of one of the sons of Aaron. Now, I don't know exactly how big these stones were, but they were pretty good size. And again, I say to be able to etch in that thing names. And they were not all short names. Some of them were fairly large. But in this breastplate, here's four rows, three in each row of these gems. And I looked up some of these things, like carbuncle and some of these things, just to see what they look like. And now I know why they call that thing that comes on your arm, they call it carbuncle, because it has that look to it. It almost looks like an eyeball. And that's what these stones look like. And various in color, various in value, and so on. And then at the bottom there was a lace. Now, lace here is not talking about lace like those on a tablecloth that you see around the outside of it. Lace here has to do with lace like you lace up your shoe. This was a lace of blue linen that they took and wove it into a rope of a kind, but small, and called it a lace. And that lace around this ephod was a cloth belt. It's called the curious girdle of the ephod. And that girdle was a wide cloth belt that went around, and this blue linen woven into a lace was attached to that curious girdle of the ephod. And the reason for all of this was to hold this thing over the heart of the high priest. These lace things kind of went out to the side and held it down, and the two chains at the top fastened to the shoulder pieces held it in place. And no matter what that priest did, if he was bowing, if he was standing, if he was walking, no matter what he did, those names never moved. All those names of that breastplate of judgment stayed right over his heart. Now tonight I want to give you five things in the way of this breastplate as a figure which point forward to that one who is our priest forever, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is its significance, the significance of the breastplate. It's called the breastplate of judgment. Now, he calls it the breastplate of judgment not because the high priest wore it to judge over Israel's affairs. There were some things that the high priest did set in judgment over. And one of those things is what I preached on up in Ashland last year. But that's not why it was called the breastplate of judgment. And it wasn't to declare an impending judgment, although it did declare such a judgment. But rather it was called the breastplate of judgment because it was the business of him who wore this breastplate to satisfy the judgment of an offended God. This was a mediator. This high priest was to take the sacrifice which God decreed, commanded, and instructed him to take for the sins of Israel. And he was to take that thing and make atonement for them and appease a holy God. The breastplate of judgment. David wrote of our God that justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Justice and judgment. And this priest, now, I'm just going to keep telling you this all the way through. Hopefully, it'll sink in. This thing represents the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this ephod is all about. And in the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ is his elect. But they're not there under compromise. They're there under strict justice and strict judgment. And so he was appointed to be a high priest. Isaiah said he's a just God and a Savior. And Paul tells us in Romans 3:24 through 26, and this is talking about the Old Testament scriptures here. You look it up and give it some study, give it some time, and you'll see that. But he tells us in Romans 3, verse 24 through 26, that God has set Christ before us in his priestly work as the propitiation for our sins, to declare his righteousness for the remission of our sins, that he might be just and justified. You see what my point here? This breastplate of judgment He shall bear the judgment of God in his heart always. Always. Now, God has purposed to save a people. When did he purpose that? From all eternity. And to this end, Christ was given his office as our great high priest to bear our names upon his shoulders and upon his heart before the God of glory. But in the salvation of God's elect, he will not compromise the glorious character of God. The very heart of our Savior, which this breastplate represents, is the heart of righteousness, justice, and judgment. He said, this is why I came into the world. This is why I'm here. I pray that this cup be taken away, and nevertheless, thy will be done. He knew what the will of God was. Aaron wore this breastplate of judgment to manifest that our redemption is based upon judgment satisfied. Judgment satisfied. All that is displayed upon this breastplate is in perfect harmony with the character of the true and living God. You couldn't find an Amorite king's name on there. You couldn't find a Canaanite king's name on there. But every name on there was in perfect harmony with the righteousness, justice, and judgment of God. He did not compromise to have their names there. So first of all, we see that this breastplate of judgment foreshadows Christ, our great high priest, bearing us upon his shoulders and over his heart and presenting us before God by way of his blood-bought atonement. And then secondly, I want to show you our position in our high priest. Our position in him, first of all, is fixed. It's fixed. Nowhere in the Word of God does it ever speak of any of those stones ever being replaced by a different gem or a different stone, or any of those names being ground off and other names being written in. Those names that he put there stayed there forever. They're fixed. They're fixed. And the book of life, that book which manifests the names of God's elect and the object of God's love and affection, that book was inseparably connected with the salvation of God's elect, according to Revelation 17:8, was written from the foundation of the world. It said the whole world wandered after the beast whose names were not written in this book of life before the foundation of the world. And you check me out and see if it's not so. I think it's in Revelation 21 where he declares that justice at the end of time, that judgment, and when everything was said and done, he said, and all those whose names were not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Is that right? That's exactly right. That these names written in the heart of our great high priest are fixed. They're fixed by God and they're fixed forever. Our position in him is fixed. It said in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He put our names upon the heart of our Savior. Before Israel ever received the law of God appointed for them, God appointed for them a high priest and wrote their names upon his heart and put their names upon his shoulders to bear them up before God. Our position is fixed, and it's fixed upon the shoulders of his power and upon the heart of his love. Fixed. Both places. And it's fixed by an eternal redemption, purposed, accomplished, and accepted of God. And then fourthly, our position in him is fixed in a definite and particular way. Aaron was not the high priest of whosoever will. Was he? No, sir. Who was he a high priest of? Israel. Israel. He was not the high priest of all those who accepted him as their personal savior or their personal high priest. He was not the high priest of everyone who agreed to call him the high priest. And he was not the high priest of everyone who made a profession of faith. He was the high priest of all the elect of God. And I'm telling you this as clear as I know how to tell you, you cannot use the typical priesthood to preach a universal salvation. It just won't fit. And there's two ways that men go to try to get around that. There's only two ways that you can go. First, by denying altogether that the priesthood of Israel was a type of Christ. That's simple enough. No, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. I don't believe he was a type. I believe this priesthood has to do with the church. It still has to do with the church, and churches still ought to have priests, and this whole thing about figures and shadows and types and all that, I'm just not going to buy into it. Well, if that be the case, you're going to have to get rid of half the New Testament, because a good half of it speaks, and especially the book of Hebrews, you're just going to have to rip it out, because that's what it's all about, the priesthood of Christ. And then the second thing, if you're going to try to get around this, is you must teach the priesthood of Israel as a dispensational truth. You're going to have to say, well, there was a priesthood, but that was for that time, and now this is for this time. The only problem with that is our God doesn't change, does he? That kind of just blows dispensationalism out the window as far as I'm concerned. Our God is eternal. Whatever he redeems in time was purposed from all eternity. Whatever happens in time was purposed from all eternity. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. If this dispensational thing is true, then Christ was not a high priest of good things to come, and his sacrifice accomplished nothing, seeing he wasn't appointed to offer one, and we have no mediator at all, nor an advocate before God, because those things were just dispensational. You see what happens when you twist the scriptures, you distort the scriptures. Our Lord said you do it to your own destruction. Now here's the third thing I want you to see tonight, is the arrangement of these stones. I kept looking at these stones, and some of the writers, I believe Pink had some things to say about it, but talking about these stones in accordance with whose name was written on it, and so on. But why 12 individual stones? We're talking now about that breastplate. Why 12 different stones? Why such a wide variety of stones? Why such a distinction in the value of these stones? My soul, a carbuncle, hey, I looked it up, it's got nowhere near the kind of value that a diamond does, or an emerald, or a sapphire. And I kept looking and looking and looking. Why such a distinction in the value of these stones? And I kept looking at these stones, trying to make some rhyme or reason out of them, trying to find some connection between them and the people whose names were written on them. And finally, I believe the Holy Ghost gave me the reason why he put all these stones on this breastplate, all these various kinds of stones. The distinction in the stones is to show us that there is no distinction with God. That's why he put them on there. The distinction in the gems are all made by men. Is that true? It's man who looks at a diamond and said, this is a diamond. This is a carbuncle. Or a moonstone. This is a moonstone, you know. And throw it on the table. But this is a diamond. That's man says that. Man says that. That distinction in these gems are all made by men. God takes what men set great value on, and he uses them to describe the common parts of his heavenly Jerusalem. He said the gates are gates of pearl, didn't he? And he called the streets what? Streets of gold. Pure gold, transparent. So pure it was transparent. Gold. Well, what's it used for? Used to walk on. Used to walk on. There are no distinctions in Christ. There's neither male nor female, bond nor free, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile. We all have an equal setting in the heart of Christ, regardless of our earthly value. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Luke was a doctor. He was somebody. He was a doctor. He was a physician. Peter was a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. You know, Peter wrote a lot more books than Luke. He sure did. David was just a shepherd. Just a shepherd boy. God reminded him of that time and again. He was just a shepherd. But God made him a man after his own heart. And upon the heart of our great high priest, the emerald, the sapphire, and the diamond are listed beneath the sardis and the topaz and the carbuncle. They take second row to these common stones. Paul said, what have you gotten that you have not received? And if you've received it, why do you glory like you didn't? So the distinction is to manifest no distinction at all. And then think about this. These stones were not left in their natural condition. Even the diamond and the emerald have no appeal in the natural state. And they can easily be overlooked. Easily be overlooked. But these stones were made anew by the decree and gifts of God. I want you to listen to something here in Exodus 31:1. Let me read a few verses of this to you. This all has to do with the making of the tabernacle and the making of these various things. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. Now watch this. And in the cutting of stones to set them. The stones were taken and shaped for the glory of God and to the glory of his high priest, and these stones were polished and set in place as God saw fit and by men whom God gifted to do it. That's right. Can you see in that what a clear picture that is of the ministry today? Well, how come he gets to preach? How come he gets to sing? How come he's got a fine voice and I can't play a radio? God has set us in the body as he sees fit. And then thirdly, think about the origin of these stones. Some came from the depth of the sea. Some from dark pits in the bowels of the earth, and some just picked up, been walked on all their life. God just picked them up on the common path, and there they were. Yet all destined to be displayed over the heart of our great high priest. And then the fourth thing I want you to see is where these stones are carried. These stones are fashioned over the heart of our great high priest. You think about that. Everywhere he went, they went. Everything he did, they did. Everything he saw, they saw. Everything he received, they received. They won with him. Won with him. They were carried to the brazen altar, that altar upon which the substitutionary sacrifice must be burned with fire. That altar beneath which the sin offering, the blood of the sin offering must be poured out. That altar where the blood was taken in a vessel and carried in under the veil into the very presence of God. You think about that. These stones on the breast of our high priest were seated with him in the heavenlies. When that high priest went into the Shekinah glory of God, that same Shekinah glory that shined on that priest shined on them names, didn't it? Shined on them stones. And that blessed light which shone upon the countenance of our great high priest shined in all its beauty upon these blessed stones. I thought about this afternoon, that very light which radiated from the face of the satisfied Father radiated also upon those 12 stones. We have light because our great high priest has accomplished the will of God on our behalf. And it's the work of our great high priest which has bought us the right to be made the sons of God. And when God looks on His Son, our great high priest, He looks at all those in His Son. And when God speaks to His Son, He speaks to all those in His Son. Listen to this scripture here in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, He's already talked about the high priest and why he came and that he was a figure and that Christ, our high priest, now has entered into heavenly places with better sacrifices than that old priest. And by this one sacrifice for sins forever, He's perfected us forever through that one sacrifice, sanctified us forever. And now He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then lastly, let's think about this. It was the person of the great high priest and his office that gave value to the jewels, not the other way around. If it was the other way around, that diamond could look over at that carbuncle and say, I'm a diamond, and you're just a carbuncle. He could look over at that sapphire and say, boy, you're something, but you ain't like me. I'm a diamond. That's not how it worked. That's not how it worked. It is the person of the great high priest that gave value to the jewels, not the other way around. What value would a worthless worm, try to just imagine for a minute, an old wiggling maggot in the carcass of a dead animal. He's wiggling around. That's what that word worm means in the scripture, wiggling maggot. Look it up. But what would that maggot be worth in the hand of the Son of God? Huh? Even that worthless maggot would be invaluable if he's chosen by the Son of God and held in His hand. Paul wrote to the Galatians and said in him, or to the Colossians, and he said, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now listen to this. And you are complete in Him. That's where your value is. That's where your security is. That's where your growth in grace is. That's where your knowledge is. That's where your honor is. That's where your glory is. You're complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. What made these jewels precious was whose heart they were fastened to. Everything fastened to this breastplate went where the priest went, saw what the priest saw, and received what the priest received. God help us to see ourselves fixed upon the heart of our great high priest. If we do, these trials, you can rest them in His hands and just sit back and wait. You can just rest them there because we're complete in Him. I'm complete in Him. I don't have the answer to all our worldly problems and cares and trials. I don't have them. I go through them just like you do. But I tell you this, you'll never find any comfort until you cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And get hold of this fact. I'm complete in Him. I'm fixed in Him. Fixed in Him. These stones were inseparably fixed over the heart of our great high priest. And in those names are representative, aren't they? They're representative of the whole house of Israel. And who is the whole house of Israel except those who are called by God to believe and follow Him in faith and repentance?